Good morning.
Happy Father's Day, everybody. I'm glad you're here. Hope you're able to be here with your dad and celebrate him today. Maybe you're going to take him out to dinner afterwards or even go home and grill. I asked my boys, what are you getting me for Father's Day? They said, you're going to go come home and grill. I said, okay, that's wonderful. So looking forward to that this afternoon. We're glad you're here and hope that you've made yourself at home. You've joined us on a weekend where we are coming in the first part of the month of 2 months of studying the Proverbs. We've selected about 8 weeks of messages we want to pull from some selected passages in the Proverbs. And I've talked with many of you who said, that's my favorite book in the Bible. So it's great to go through these lessons, and hopefully you will. We've merged this with our Bible study theme, which was Move. And try to do some one-word titles with all these messages. Pastor David was here for the first two lessons, leading us through the topics of Proverbs 1 and 2, which are listen and seek. And then today we want to look at the word guard. And that word guard comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24, where it talks about, above all else, guard your heart, for from it is the wellspring of life. And so, when you think about guarding, one of the things I think about is just all the great police officers we have in our community. And a lot of times you'll see on the side of police cars that phrase that says, to serve and protect. And I'm always encouraged as a father, reminded as a father, that my role, one of my roles in this family, is to serve my family and to protect them. And there's that aspect of guarding that goes on with that. And Proverbs challenges us as dads to begin that procedure in our own lives, to guard our hearts. And so what we've done is we've asked Chris Holtzmeyer, who's on staff here at CFC, to give this message today, because he is the chaplain, one of the chaplains, at our local police department here in Evansville. Chris is going to come and challenge us as dads in a way that he challenges a lot of the Evansville police force. So he's bringing us a message from this proverb that he shared with them many times. And then I want to give you a heads up about what's coming next weekend. Next weekend, we're moving from guard to drink, okay? And I know some of you folks are sitting there going, yeah, the Kentuckian has lost it now. He's going to come back and talk about drinking. No, that's not the kind of drinking that we're talking about. I want you to read ahead Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 6, and look at that aspect of drinking as it relates to sexual purity. And that's what we're going to be talking about next week. And I just kind of want to give you a heads up for that, because some of you may want to, you know, talk to your children about that if you bring your kids in here for that. We're going to be talking about sexual purity next weekend, and I hope you'll make it back for that as well. So before we get started, before Chris comes out and we go any further, would you take a moment and let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the privilege of being dads. And Lord, I thank you that you gather us in this place each week with one another in a safe place where we can be encouraged as fathers by your word, where we can be challenged as fathers by your word. Lord, I know that the older I get, the more I am tempted to check out. And I pray, God, that you would help us as a church be a part about creating an environment to where we can always be held accountable to that. I need that kind of accountability in my life, and I'm sure my brothers in here who are trying to be the best dads that they can be, they need that kind of accountability as well. So, Father, we want to be a place where men in that role of fatherhood are both encouraged, comforted in the band of brotherhood, and, Father, challenged by your word. I pray for Chris as he comes in a moment to do just that, and we thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen.
When I was 22 years old, I was approached by my mother about the fact that our local police department was hiring. So I applied, passed a colorblind test that I shouldn't have passed because I am colorblind. I had some issues with my blood as I was coming on the police department. That after going and seeing an internist, he said, you know, your white blood cell count is low, but I think it's okay. I'm going to go ahead and recommend you for the job. And after my first year and a half on the police department, I began to notice a difference in my life. worked the inner city, worked in a rough area of town, and I noticed that I wasn't really the man that I used to be. My speech getting me foul, wasn't treating my wife right, was a jerk. And I can recall one morning coming home from third shift, hadn't even taken off my uniform, sit down at the kitchen table with my Bible, and I was determined to do some devotions. And instead of really going through my regular routine, I can recall just having an honest moment with God and saying, God, I am in this rut. I'm not who you want me to be. And I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to get myself out of it.
Good morning. The man in that video was a man named Nathan Schroer. Nathan was a police officer, a detective, and a chaplain with the Evansville Police Department. But Nathan was also a local pastor. And he and I served together in ministry for a period of time, and he's someone that I had gotten to know and love and respect a great, great deal. And I love watching that video because just for a few moments, you get the opportunity to see his face again and hear his voice and experience a little bit of his personality again. Sadly, though, shortly after that video was produced, Nathan came down with leukemia for the third time, second time within a year, and he passed away. November 19, 2013. When he passed away, Chief Boland and a few others close to the situation felt like it would be appropriate, since Nathan and I served on the same staff together, served on the same ministry team together, I had family in the police department, still do, that it would be appropriate that I would replace Nathan as a chaplain, kind of fill that void as a chaplain that was left after his passing. So at that time, I became a civilian chaplain with the EPD. And I love being a chaplain at the police department. As most of you know, it's not easy to be in law enforcement these days, is it? But I can tell you, I can assure you that I've spent enough time with our officers and our local deputies that Evansville's finest, Vandenberg County's finest, Warwick County's finest, they are exactly that. They are men and women who love to serve their community. They serve with honor, integrity, and character, and I'm so proud to be one of their chaplains. One of my responsibilities as a chaplain, we have some fun responsibilities to get to spend time with these men and women, but one of my responsibilities as a chaplain is to conduct character training. This happens during OTS, Officer Training School, basically to kind of give you an idea of how this works. A man or woman is selected to be an officer. They go off to Law Enforcement Academy for several weeks. They study hard, and then they graduate from Law Enforcement Academy, and they immediately go into 4 weeks of OTS, Officer Training School. After OTS is over, they step out onto the streets for 6 months with an FTO, a field training officer, and when that training is over, then they're out on their own, so to speak. There's other officers around, but they're out on their own, calling their own shots and decisions. But during this session of character training, I get the opportunity to look at these new officers in the eye and remind them of something that they already know, but we never hurts to be reminded of things nowadays, does it? But I remind them of something they already know, that their world is about to get rocked, that they're about to hit the streets where they're going to encounter people who call them filthy and crude names from the sidewalks. They're about to encounter people who give them inappropriate hand gestures from afar. They're going to encounter folks who are liars and cheaters and swindlers, murderers, rapists, folks who do things to children you can't even imagine. I remind these officers that their challenge is going to be to not let their good intentions, not let the fact that they're starting off so strong, to not let their heart become negatively impacted, negatively affected by what they're about to see and experience on the road. And I love showing them this video of Nathan, because Nathan tells them exactly what's getting ready to happen to them, because it happened to him, one of their own. Some of you here today might find yourself in a similar set of circumstances. You've just started a new job. You've just started at a new school, or you're transitioning to a new school. You've just gotten married. You've started a new phase in life. And the world is sending you all kinds of mixed signals, bad signals that's challenging the way you think about people, challenging the way you think about life, challenging the way you think about the world, challenging your heart, and maybe even the way you think about God. The passage of Scripture we're going to look at today, one of the passages, the primary passage, is ironically it's the same passage of Scripture that I get to go over with these officers in officer training school. And it's this. It comes from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I want to talk to everybody in here today, but I want to talk specifically, hone in specifically on our men, our husbands, and our fathers today about guarding your hearts. And in particular, about setting up some perimeters around your heart and around your life so that you can be the husband, the man, the father that God so badly wants you to be. Missy and I were blessed. My wife and I were blessed about 11 or 12 years ago with a move to Washington, D.C. I'd always wanted to live and work in that environment, and God opened up a door for us to move to Washington, opened up a door in ministry on Capitol Hill. And out of all of the exciting things that we got to experience during our time there, out of all of the life-changing experiences that we had in that great city, the greatest thing that happened to us were the relationships that came out of that experience and still stand there today. One of those relationships is with a guy named Ken Valentine. You might remember Ken. Ken is a federal agent, a Secret Service agent in Washington, guards the president, guards the vice president. And he's actually been here just a few months ago to talk on a similar subject. And I've been around Ken on numerous occasions when people come up that have never met him before, and they ask him some question about guarding the president that they think he's never been asked before, you know? And I love how he handles the situation, how he handles the question. He says, "You know what? People see us guarding the president, and they typically think of this picture right here. They think of the scene where the president is in the car, or he's walking by himself, so to speak, or there's four or five federal agents kind of walking with that vehicle, walking with that person. That's the print view. That's the TV view. And that's the only view that people really see." He said, "People see perimeter one. They don't see the second perimeter of defense that we have set up. All the other 20 or 30 agents moving in that bubble with the president wherever he goes." He said, "Not only do they not see the second perimeter, they don't see the third perimeter. All of the people along the sidewalks, all of the agents and police officers along the sidewalks, all of those resources coming up from the rear, ready to go to war if anybody dare invade their space to harm that man." He said, "Not only do they not see the second perimeter and the third perimeter, they don't see the fourth perimeter, the people who are on top of the buildings, on the sidewalks, and so forth." He said, "Not only do they not see the second perimeter and the third perimeter and the fourth perimeter, they don't see, they might hear, but they don't see the fourth perimeter, all of the airplanes and the helicopters and maybe even the drones that are up there looking down for hot spots, areas of trouble." Now, here's my question for us to think about today. If we as a nation will go through that much to protect one person, one individual, the most powerful person in the world, the most influential person in our country, and I agree wholeheartedly that we should, but if we will do that for one person, why won't we do the same for the most important and vital aspect of our spiritual lives, the heart? The heart is the seat in your life where character flows. All of those things that your friends need to see from you, all of those things that your family need to see and experience from you, all of those things that your employer needs to see and experience from you, all of those things that your church need to see and experience from you, they flow deep from within your heart. Things like honesty and integrity, faithfulness, service, loyalty, commitment, passion, joy, peace, hard work, proper speech, the ability to make wise decisions, wise choices, they all flow from deep within your heart. And that's the reason why in this passage of Scripture, Solomon says, you've got to guard your heart, you've got to protect your heart, you've got to defend it with everything you've got. Unfortunately, though, the heart isn't what the world pays attention to nowadays, is it? The world likes to judge us. The world likes to gauge us by what we look like on the outside. They like to gauge us. They like to judge us by how we groom ourselves, our fancy clothes, our all of the stuff, the expensive, fancy stuff that we surround ourselves with. That's what they like to judge us by. That's not what God judges us by. God is interested in what's on the inside. God looks at your heart. One of my favorite passages of Scripture that helps to illustrate this point is actually found in the Old Testament. You remember the story of Saul, right? Saul was who? Saul was the first king of Israel. Basically, the nation of Israel looked up to God and they said, God, you're not enough. All of these other nations around us, they have kings. We want a king too. And as much as it broke God's heart that they had rejected him in that way, he said, okay, I'll give you a king. So he anointed Saul to be the first king of Israel. And Saul started off well. He started off strong. He was doing the right things. But over the course of time, he let some evil things creep into his life, some bad things. Jealousy, resentment, pride, arrogance, selfishness, self-centeredness. And it bothered God so much that he finally said, okay, Saul, I've had enough. Your days are numbered. I'm anointing someone new to be the next king of Israel. So the Lord sends the prophet Samuel to Bethlehem of all places, to the house of Jesse to find the next king. And when he arrives on the scene, he sees the first of Jesse's sons and says, surely the next king is here. That's when God grabs a hold of Samuel, and he says this in 1 Samuel 16:7. He says, Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them, Samuel. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? The heart. And you know the rest of the story. Samuel goes on and he interviews, he kind of interrogates these seven sons of Jesse, and he walks away kind of scratching his head a little bit, and he walks up to Jesse and he says, Jesse, that almost sounds like a Duck Dynasty moment, doesn't it? Jesse? He says, Jesse, you got any other sons? Kind of confused, I guess. Jesse says, well, yeah, I've got one more. He's the youngest. He's out in the fields tending sheep right now, and Samuel says, send for him. And here comes David in a while. He might not have looked kingly in stature. He might not have looked like the rest of his brothers that looked like they could immediately become king. But what does the Bible say about David? He was a man after God's own what? Heart. So, fellas, here's the point. If God is watching your heart, if he's that interested in it, it's worth protecting. It's worth defending. So how do we do it? How do we guard, how do we protect the most vital aspect of our spiritual lives? Today, in a kind of a law enforcement way, I want to tell you about three things you can do to protect your heart. Law enforcement, police officers, sheriff's deputies, federal agents, state troopers, when there's an important person or an important area that they need to seal off and protect, they'll come in and set up what is called a perimeter. And I want to encourage you today, in that same vein, to set up three perimeters in your around your life, around your heart. The first of which is a perimeter around your eyes and around your ears. Remember this, what goes in your eyes, what goes in your ears, rattles around in your brain a little bit, in your mind, and eventually makes it down into your heart. And what makes it into your heart eventually comes out in the form of actions and words. So if there's good things in here, good actions will flow, good words will flow. But if there's bad, if there's evil in here, bad actions will flow, bad words will flow. So we've got to take explicit steps to protect our eyes and protect our ears, because they form the main windows into our heart. Protecting our eyes and protecting our ears, though, is extremely difficult today, though, isn't it? Things come out our eyes, things come out our ears in such an unfiltered manner nowadays. Music, speech, videos, images, they're so vile today, and they come at us at times when we least expect it. Stop right there. When we least expect it is when the devil begins to make his move, because we least expect him at that time. So we need to be vigilant with our eyes and ears. We need to consecrate our eyes, consecrate our ears for holy listening, for holy viewing, for holy watching. I love what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. He said this, "Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light." Take things in through your eyes. Take things in through your ears that are full of light, God's light. Your perspective on life, your perspective on people, your perspective on the world will be a lot different. But not only do we need to set up a perimeter around our eyes and our ears, we also need to set up a perimeter of right relationships. I'm talking here about the family, the friends, the mentors, the accountability partners that you allow into your life to influence you. Another great proverb is found in Proverbs 13:20. "The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm." The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. At various points throughout the year, it's important for me to go and spend time with people, men, that help hold me accountable, help me walk that straight and narrow path today. It's nothing for me to wake up on a Friday morning early and drive to Louisville, Kentucky, take the first Southwest flight out of Louisville, bound for Baltimore, train it down from Baltimore down to Union Station in Washington, D.C., subway over to the Secret Service area, spend some time with Ken Valentine, subway back over to the Capitol area, spend some time with some folks in the Senate Chaplain's Office, walk over to spend some time with folks who I used to work with in the ministry in Washington. At various points, multiple times throughout the year, it's important for me that I drive 2 hours and 15 minutes over to Shavitz Arena in St. Louis, Missouri, and spend time with people like Jim Cruz and Jim Platt, folks who I don't want to necessarily talk about basketball with them. I want to talk about life. They're so good at talking and mentoring. We talk about life. We talk about how to serve people and how to help people. We talk about society and what people need. And it doesn't matter how much time, for me, it doesn't matter how much time is spent getting to those people. It doesn't matter how much money is spent getting to those people. My wife would disagree with that second point there. You don't mess with Missy's money. But you get the point. What matters is getting to those people in my life that help humbly and gracefully challenge me and help hold me accountable. And when I'm done spending, whether it's 15 minutes or an hour and 15 minutes or 8 hours with these folks, I leave their presence wanting to be a better man, a better husband, a better father, a better pastor to each of you. It's vitally important. Conversely, when I do ride-alongs with our officers, I witness young people growing up in environments where all they ever come to know is poverty and neglect and all sorts of evil. And many of them never break free from that life. Many of them never choose wise mentors, accountability partners who can help lead them out of that particular lifestyle. And the cycle just goes on and on and on. They grow up in it, they experience it, and then they do it. Listen, there are positive benefits and there are negative consequences for the people you choose to hang with. Choose them wisely. But not only do we need to maintain quality relationships with people around us, that perimeter of quality relationships, we need to maintain a right relationship with God. Most importantly, a right relationship with God. Now, men, hear me now. We need to be the spiritual leaders in our homes. And that means that we are going to look at our time. That means we're going to evaluate our time, prioritize our time so that we are in the house of God with our family, with our friends, with our loved ones on a consistent basis. That means that on an individual basis, we're going to be walking through the pages of Scripture. We're going to be men of prayer. That means on a collective basis with people around us, we're going to be helping them walk through the pages of Scripture, helping them to be men of prayer. That's called discipleship. In the end, we want our kids, we want our family, we want our friends replicating what they see in us. Just think, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, if we're doing these things, oh, what a difference that'll make in society, in the world. Not only do we need a perimeter around our eyes and around our ears, but and not only do we need a perimeter of right relationships, but we also need a perimeter of godly activities in our lives. I understand and you understand that there are times God has called us to vocations. God has called us to work hard at what we do. That's a way that we influence other people, is how, as Christians, how hard we work. And there are times when we need to work overtime. Everybody does that nowadays. But we need to keep things in their proper perspective. We need to find activities to be a part of that will strengthen your relationship with God, strengthen your relationship with your family, strengthen your relationship with the people the Lord has placed around you. Love what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, that whatever you do, whatever you say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Friends, I come from a little bit of a maybe a biased opinion, but I can't think of a better place in the world to be a representative of the Lord than the workings and the activities of the local New Testament church. Just think of the possibilities, the opportunities to be involved, that even at a place like CFC, you can be a part of missions, both globally and locally. You can be a part of kids ministry, children's ministry, student ministry. You can be a part of First Impressions, where you're greeting people, just shaking a hand and saying hello, making them feel welcome. You can be a part of a tech crew, a stage crew that helps pull off message series and events such as this. Numerous ways you can get involved in godly activities and be a representative of the Lord in your community and in the world. And here's what's interesting. As you set up this perimeter of godly activities around your life, you'll slowly begin to set up a perimeter of right relationships with people who help keep you close to the Lord. Now, when you've established these perimeters in your life and around your life, what can be the results? We will show the greatest character qualities known to man. Why? Because our hearts are healthy and our hearts are safe. I think the Apostle Paul alludes to these great qualities when speaking on the fruits of the Spirit. He says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, he says, "But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." Now, if you look at that passage of Scripture again, each one of us can pick out a different word that we struggle with a little bit. We might struggle with the love or the joy or the patience, the kindness. This week for me, just to be honest, I struggled a little bit with the peace thing, being a man of peace. Some people that I've come to know and love were kind of hurt by a situation, and my first response and several others' first response was to lash out in defense, or at least try to. And after having some conversations, it was almost as if we came back to this passage of Scripture. We are to be people of love, regardless. We're to be people of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that people need to see in our lives. And when you are actively monitoring these perimeters, these spiritual perimeters around your heart and around your life, around your eyes, around your ears, right relationships, godly activities, it becomes a whole lot easier to be the husband, the wife, the mother, the father, the student, the family member, the friend that God wants you to be. Don't let anything get in the way of guarding your hearts. Because as we've seen in the pages of Scripture, it's important. Your spiritual heart is important to God, and He's keeping His eye on it. You might be here today, and you are where Nathan was in that video. You know that a change needs to take place in your life, but you're not sure exactly where to start. Maybe you're here today and you'd like to establish that first perimeter around your eyes and your ears, but there's already an addiction or a wound that's taken seed in your heart. So setting up that perimeter around your eyes and ears is a little bit difficult. I want to recommend to you a ministry we have here at CFC called Celebrate Recovery. Isaac Martin and his leadership team, they do a wonderful job with this ministry. There in that ministry, you will find a group of people who will love you, who will embrace you, who will walk you through any kind of hurt, habit, or hang-up you've got going on in your life. They'll help lead you through to a point of recovery where setting up that perimeter around your eyes and your ears to protect your heart becomes a whole lot easier. You might be here and you'd like to set up that second perimeter of defense around your life, around your heart. Right relationships with both people and God. I can't think of a better ministry to get involved with than discipleship, where you've got someone or a group of people challenging you intentionally through the pages of Scripture to be a man or woman of the Word, a man or woman of prayer. You might be here and you want to set up that perimeter of godly activities around in your life and around your life, and you're interested in one of those ministries that I mentioned earlier. Here's what I want you to do. In just a few moments, we're going to receive our offering. And even now, I want you to begin to take out your welcome card. And if you need to make a decision, you want to be a part of a ministry, discipleship, there's a need in your life, Celebrate Recovery, whatever it is, indicate that on your welcome card. Maybe you're here today and you need to set up the ultimate perimeter of defense around your life, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this earth, lived a sinless life for you, shed His blood on Calvary's cross, and rose from the grave on the third day. Maybe you want to set up a relationship with Him. you indicate that on your card. And whatever decision it is, one of our ministry leaders will be back in touch with you very soon. Don't wait another day to start guarding your heart and guarding your life. I'm going to pray, and afterwards we'll receive our offering. The band will lead us in another song. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you today just thankful for your word and time in your word. Thankful, Lord, for your Spirit's moving in our midst. I pray, God, today as we receive this offering, that you'll bless the gift and the giver. I pray, Lord, that as people, if there's decisions that people need to make, they'll indicate that, Lord. That they'll begin the process of setting up these perimeters in their heart and in their life so that they can be the men and women that you want them to be. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.